Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee, got my Gemini cup, or your tea. Sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars. It is Friday, and that means we are looking ahead to the weekend. So we'll be talking about the astrology, human design, gene keys, Pleiadian earth energy for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And as I look ahead, if I had to just capture a sort of theme for the weekend, I would say it is get going, get her done, get busy, make a plan, get back to your routines. And that would all be because the sun tomorrow moves into Virgo. So we'll have Virgo energy pretty heavy now because we'll have Mercury there as well. The moon was just there a few days ago, already sort of preparing us for what was to come. And now the very powerful energy of the sun will be driving a lot of the experiences for us, at least through September 22nd. Also, the moon will start the weekend today in Libra, and that will happen through the day today as well tomorrow. And Sunday will shift into Scorpio. So we have sort of a mixed bag weekend. Now, of course, everybody needs to remember that anytime the moon is moving through Cancer, Capricorn, Libra, or Aries, that it is triggering the planets in Aries and also the planets that we have sitting in the sign of Capricorn. Sorry, I forgot to turn down my phone. So we have then the potential this weekend for some upsets or for some challenges that might mean some impatience and things like that to watch out for. So we'll get into all of that as well. There are also a couple of minor transits between planets happening, and I always like to take the opportunity to talk about those because even though they're not what we would say major aspects, they are important because often they're playing out behind the scenes, under the skin, and can create some tension that adds to the bigger energies of, or sets the stage or catalyzes the energies for the bigger transits that, for example, tomorrow with a lot of planets squaring, or the moon squaring all of the planets in Capricorn, opposing Mars and squaring Aries planets. I mean, opposing Aries planets, squaring Venus and Cancer and the Capricorn bunch, as I've come to call them. You guys may notice I'm wearing a headset today. That is on purpose because it is awfully muggy here and I did not want to have to turn my fan off and have it warm up in here any more than it already is. So that's the headset. So you guys don't necessarily hear my fan roaring in the background. Let's say good morning to everybody. Hello, J-Lo and Joshua. Thank God it's Friday, he says. I totally agree. J-Lo says, hey, Astro family. Amanda Jeffs, good morning. Andy girl, good morning. And Mimi, hello to you. Oh my gosh, you guys, you've got to go to Mimi's page, Mimi's timeline on Facebook, because yesterday she posted the most hilarious expose, if you will, or rundown of the timeline of 2020. I was literally in stitches, just rolling as I was reading this. And if I can find it again, Mimi, I make sure, if it's okay with you, I'll share it to the Living Astrology page. Oh, but I had to stop the movie we were watching and read it out loud to my husband because it was that funny. He even got it. Good morning, Leslie. Good to see you. And Camilla, good morning, J-Lo. I'm a busy bee today. Not sure why. Ah, I wonder why. Asa, hello there. Let me take this time to welcome Asa into the Living Astrology family as she has decided that she wanted to be my apprentice. And it was a mutually beneficial arrangement that we've made. She will be a lot of help for me during these busy times. And as well, she will be learning human design and learning how to work astrology using the methods that I use. So I want you all to understand if Asa reaches out to you, she's actually doing that on my behalf, perhaps. She's going to be helping me behind the scenes here in the morning to keep things going so that I don't miss questions perhaps, or people's wanting to have readings, and she'll pass that on to me. So she's just an extra pair of ears, eyes, and wisdom that is going to be shared here with all of you over the next, I don't know how long we'll do this, but I'm looking forward to it. I feel like somehow some sort of social media baggage has been lifted from me, as that was something she really wanted to do. So you might see her on Facebook, on my Living Astrology page, or on Instagram or Twitter or whatever else is out there that she cooks up for me. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to you, Asa, for taking that on. Loanne, good morning. J-Lo says, woohoo, Ursula. Oh, what did Ursula say? The smoke is still here, but is lifting slightly. So it is much cooler here this morning, even though the house is still hot and muggy and it's raining. So I'm wondering if maybe some of that rain may push down to Northern California without the lightning this time to quench some of those fires. That would be so nice. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. I'm so glad to see you here, because I know yesterday Jennifer and Emily Kay, who we know as Puffing Pixie, didn't get to their chart. So we're going to work through a little bit of that this morning. Amy Energy, good morning. And Amanda says, so cool. Asa, thanks all. I am here to assist. And definitely she is. She is a pretty wise woman in her own right. She's very adept at astrology, and she can answer questions for you. And if she doesn't know what to do, she will find me, and we will figure out what it is that you need or how to answer your questions. Marcella Camacho, good morning to you. We haven't seen you in a while. You might have been behind the scenes, so it's good to see you today as well. And Joshua says he loves the idea that you're a Libra, Asa. She's a Libra who has her sun and earth in the same position as my husband does. It's like she's the feminine version of my husband here. And it's kind of funny. The irony is not lost on me that to help balance a Gemini, she surrounds herself with Libras, of course. Here we go. Okay. And in her human design, she has the sun at the gate 57. So she's incredibly intuitive and has very powerful intuition and can really see into what the real circumstances are of someone's chart and what is happening. So I love that too. Kimberly Eberhardt, good morning. All right. So we have a lot to get to today. So let's dive into the day today. Then I will transition over to Emily and Jennifer's charts, and then we will take a look at Saturday and Sunday. So early this morning, while you were sleeping, the moon moved into Libra. How perfect is that to announce Asa, a Libra, as my apprentice during the moon in Libra? I love it. It's like some kind of cosmic agreement that this is in the right, perfect order. So unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we get a bit of a breather today because there are no new aspects that the moon is making for a bit here, although it made new aspects because it moved into the sign of Libra. And Libra rules relationships and partnerships in our charts. And somebody, would you check in with me and make sure my sound is okay? Because I cannot tell how loud I am or not, because there's the fan behind the scenes and I can't really tell here. So let me know if you're hearing me okay. Marriage, partnerships, business partnerships as well, agreements that we make between people. The energy of interdependence comes through the moon in Libra, and also the concept of sharing, giving and taking, right? Giving and receiving. Fairness, also a part of Libra, where justice and equality and balance, I mean, it's even the scales, right? When you think of the symbol for Libra, it's the scales, which also implies, besides fairness, the ability to see all sides or all of the facets of an issue. And from that, they are the consummate negotiators, mediators, counselors, coaches. And in Libra energy, then you may find yourself in the next day or so finding yourself in that role as mediator or negotiator, because you're in the know. So you know that you will likely be able to tap in to all of the sides of an issue. And also then with Libra, we think of harmony from balance, but also peace and the harmony that comes through beauty and art and decor and the way that we arrange things in our houses, how we flow with energy. So there, Libra has that beautiful eye, right? The eye that can see where things might need to be perfected a bit. In fact, it's interesting because, and this is totally an aside, but for people who have the Black Moon Lilith in Libra, you would the shadow or the fear is the fear of not being perfect, right? There's a perfectionism that runs through Libra as a shadow, which I find so fascinating because I would have guessed originally that that was a Virgo trait or a Virgo shadow, but it is not. It is actually a Libran shadow, and that's because Libra so sees into the harmony of things that even the smallest thing in that shadow that is out of whack or not quite perfect can be the thing that they use, the fear that they have to stop them from moving forward. So if you're looking at what Black Moon Lilith looks like in a chart, let me share my screen really quickly. That's never really very quick, but I like to say that. Let me share the screen so you can see what the Black Moon Lilith symbol looks like. Let me annotate. I love it. I can play with these toys. Let's make her pink. And right here is where she is. So she looks like the crescent moon with a cross underneath it. Notice right now she's in this bunch in Aries where we have the Black Moon Lilith, Eris, which I drew a line through, and also Mars sitting between 23 and 25 degrees of Aries. That also puts them in a square to Jupiter and to Pluto. Saturn is still a little far away, but then Mars is ready to turn retrograde in a month, and he's going to move backwards across these ladies and trigger shadows and discord and fear. And so we'll be wanting to watch out for that as we move through the next month or so. So if you find Black Moon Lilith in your own chart, then you'll know whether you have a Libra Black Moon Lilith or not. And I don't mean to bring that up and then leave you hanging. Maybe someday we'll go through the Black Moon Lilith again and go through each of the signs. But if you have a Lilith in Libra, then likely perfectionism is an issue or a shadow of yours that you might be even triggered with this particular weekend. Teamwork also is a Libran trait. Collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation. I always think of Libra in the three C's, those three words that really have the spirit of Libra and teamwork, where we work together to create more than we could just by ourselves. And it is also involved within the giving and the receiving of support, and also the idea of working together, right? Working together and not any one person standing out above the other, that all parts of the team, whether you are doing the heavy lifting or whether you're the brains behind the operation, it's all important to the whole total, the sum total of the team. The moon in Libra is also very sociable and has a real knack at being tactful and diplomatic in dealing with other people. They like to get along with others. It's like, can't we all just get along? Might be a mantra for the moon in Libra. So this weekend would be about being companionable, being together without rancor, being able to have conversations that are uplifting and that are where you see every side of, you might be able to see the side that someone takes that you don't normally see. So it'll be kind of fun to be sociable, even if you have to do it on Zoom because of social distancing. Just be aware that there is this energy of working together and being harmonious. Now, there always is a negative side that we can express, right? It's a spectrum of consciousness through each of the signs. And we've just been talking about some of the higher aspects, some of the higher of the spectrum. Let's look at the lower part of the spectrum as well, because sometimes it is the negative aspect that pops up. And in the Libra sign of Libra, it's about the loss of self-identity or the loss of your own identity because you're so willing to disappear into another. So that can breed codependence, which is one of the more negative aspects of Libra energy, or an appeasing behavior where you're trying to make nice. So you're giving away too much of yourself to appease another. There's a part here that says that, you know, one side can be too positive is over on the other balance side. And then on the negative, there could also be an out of balance. So you got to bring it in, right? It's about giving and receiving in like measure. Because Libra in particular has the ability to see all sides of a situation, it can be very hard sometimes for them to make decisions. So if you're facing a big decision this weekend, you may feel like you're waffling a bit, and that's part of that Libra charm, right? They can see so much and see all the good, the bad of doing it any way that they can come up with that waffling feeling or that indecision. And they can also, because they can see so many sides of an issue, they are excellent debaters, and yet they can also get into aimless debate. All of us can get into aimless debate during this period of time, fighting over something, debating over something. I don't want to call it fighting, but even so, that's a possibility as we get into tomorrow. Debating things that really are of inconsequence, right? That really don't need to be debated or argued about. So letting yourself off the hook for those kinds of things. In the body, Libra rules the adrenals and the kidneys. And the kidneys are where the adrenals, they sit right on top of it and just behind them. And the adrenals are, of course, responsible for all the stress hormones, the cortisols. And they can be overactivated. And when they're overactivated, it can stress the kidneys. So people who have Libra prominent in their chart need to make sure they're drinking plenty of fluids, that they are getting plenty of rest, because that part of the body can be stressed easily and then become a source of burnout or other stress-related issues, anxiety, etc. Diabetes, interestingly enough, is also a body issue with Libra energy. Another reason why maybe I surround myself with Libras, keeping me down and contained. Okay, so questions or comments about that, you can leave that in the comment boxes. Let's look at the two minor aspects of the day. Today we have Mercury in a sesquiquadrate. You can write that word down, sesquiquadrate, or a minor square. I don't know why it's called a minor square. It is really a 135 degree relationship between planets. So it's the 90 degree square plus 45 degrees more, a half a square. So 135 degrees is sort of a tension filled aspect, but it's minor. So it's behind the scenes or under the skin, if you will. So this sesquiquadrate is between Mercury and Jupiter. As you know, Mercury is about communication and speech and the mind and our busyness, right? How busy we get, or transportation, etc. And Jupiter is about growth and expansion. It's fortunate. It's lady luck even. It is our wisdom and how we use our wisdom. So we have Mercury, the mind and communication, in a tension-filled square with the growth optimism part of ourselves. So it's a possibility that we blow things out of proportion this weekend, or today in particular. I think this passes by tomorrow. Either we are thinking too much and overblowing something. You know how sometimes you can take a conversation or a chance comment that someone makes, and you don't say, maybe you let it go, right? You don't say anything, you don't respond. But in the background, in the behind the scenes, all day long, you are chattering about it in your mind, about how you shoulda, coulda, woulda said something. You know, you shouldn't have let that person get away with that. And oh my gosh, how stupid are you that you didn't, blah, 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 right? That's what this is all about, right? You can either be out of proportion in your response from your mind, or in what you say in response to something that you perceive as a slight, or something that fills you with a little bit of tension. Now, this can be happening in the outer world as well. Say, you know, you're watching, you know, a conversation between a newscaster and somebody they're interviewing, and some chance comment gets blown out of proportion, right? That can be this kind of thing. There's a sense that we over-dramatize a bit, where we can take the smallest thing and make it bigger, making us feel more important, maybe, or more like the center of attention, but it serves to create more tension or anxiety. So watch that for the rest of the day, that you're not over sensationalizing something, making it, you know, blowing things out of proportion, saying that you can do more than you can really do, those kinds of things. Now, today we get a chance to talk about a biquintile. And let's see, can I show that to you also in the screen? Let's see if I can do that. Because if we look down here, I might have to make my screen a little bit bigger. There we go. So if you get your charts from astro.com, and I'm sure you'll see this in any of them, Windstar or Solar Fire, there is this BQ that you might see. It's a little B with a big Q. And here we see that the sun is in a BQ biquintile with Pluto in this particular chart this morning. And I wasn't even going to talk about that one. It's probably waning at the moment. But what I wanted to talk about was the fact that we have Mercury in a biquintile with Saturn. And also, if you go down the line a bit here, you have it with Chiron. And so and there's also the sun in a biquintile over here to Salacia. So not one that we know much about yet, but we have the opportunity to then today talk about what is a biquintile. Now we've talked about the quintile. So these occur when you divide the chart in five, that is a 72 degree angle. And if you raise that factor, you get a 144 degree angle. And it is the biquintile, a 144 degree angle that we are talking about today. Now, whenever you have a biquintile or a quintile, they both operate pretty much the same way. The quintile may be a little bit stronger, the biquintile a little bit weaker, but it points to some particular talent. So if you have biquintiles in your own natal chart, it might be kind of a talent that lies behind the scene, one that you didn't really know you had, but then you suddenly, it blasts into your awareness. It can be a place where you're able to really create order out of chaos, where you are able to categorize, recognize patterns, and then from those recognitions of patterns, be able to predict what comes next. Kind of sounds like the logic circuit in human design, doesn't it? It's also a place where you're really good at structure, where you can create the structure or the form or the foundation. There it sounds a little bit like Saturn, doesn't it? It has perfectionistic tendencies. This may be where you're not necessarily a Virgo. You don't have your black moon Lilith in Libra, but there's this perfectionistic tendency that you have with certain things. And maybe it might be the work that you put out. Maybe it's your writing, or maybe it's in art. I remember my youngest son when he was little, and he's a Libra. When he was little, he would, you know how they sent home writing assignments for kids, like when they're learning how to print. This was in kindergarten. So he's learning how to print. And if it wasn't perfect, he would take his pen and just rip it up and throw it away and start over. I don't know how many times we redid his homework because he had this perfectionist tendency that was running through it. So you don't have to destroy things just because you feel like it's not perfect. Evaluate that and see if there's something that you can do to perfect it without throwing it away. But if you have to throw it away, then you're willing to do that as well. And there's a real skill here at building things and putting things together, like, you know, boxes, putting things together, a plan. I'm laughing at that because I can't put a box together. I obviously don't have this biquintile in any, hand-oriented area. give me a banker's box and I will never be able to put it together. So a biquintile then between Mercury and Saturn and Mercury and Chiron this weekend points to a creative synthesis of your healing, of putting together a new foundation, of setting something up for your future. We might feel more secure in the plans that we've made, and we may feel like we've got a handle on whatever it is that that we were trying to plan or that we are trying to execute in a plan. We feel more secure in what we're doing, in how we're doing it, and who we're doing that with. We just feel better about everything that we've created, and we have creative solutions and creative healing going on during this period of time as well. So look to that, the biquintile aspect, even though minor behind the scenes, is operating to help you synthesize solutions and foundations and feel more secure in everything that you're doing. All right, before we change over to do readings for Jennifer and Emily, and I hope Emily's out there today, Let's talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy for the day. Today is 9 in lightning. And you guys, I'm always so amazed at how these, there's the coherence between the astrology of the day and the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, because the number 9, the energy of the universe for the day, is about harmony. So Libran, right? So Libran, with the moon in Libra, and the day is all about creating harmony. And harmony specifically in the Pleiadian calendar here is about taking all of the energy so far in our spiraling of consciousness and being able to see how they're all connected and to harmonize all of the experiences that you've had in this previous 9 days. See how everything is interconnected, how the parts fit together, how it suits the evolution of consciousness, not only in this moment or in this week, but in the grander cycles of time. It is a very peaceful kind of day that is breeding the spirit of cooperation, co-creation, collaboration. Where did we just hear those 3 words? And in this day, we learn that harmony follows the heart, meaning when you are following your heart, then that is the pathway to harmony, right? So following your heart brings you harmony. Harmony comes when you're following your heart. Makes sense, doesn't it, right? Enlightening is the very last day of the 20-day or earth signs. In the Mayan calendar, that was Ahau. It is the sign of royalty, of nobility, of the kings, of the high priests. It is a sign of wisdom. It is a sign of being able to see multiple perspectives at once, all in one time, that then allows social progress, because we can see that this is the way that the world is unfolding, that we, it's politically, it's so interesting to me to watch what's happening. Because you have the old guard here, and what they, the words that they use to talk about the youngsters is, oh, they're socialists, or they're progressives, or they're liberals, right? They try to disparage their forward thinkingness and make it something that most Americans would find unpalatable, right? Socialism, we're all sort of freaked out about that. But I can guarantee you that the energies that are coming up for the years in the future here are very Aquarian. And it is Aquarian energy that is sort of more liberal. It does have conservative times. It's also more progressive. And it's also more about humanitarianism. So here in enlightening energy, we are able to see how social progress can happen when we marry the best of the past to the best of the future. And we move forward that way. So if we can elevate ourselves, our thinking out of polarization, we can really create a peaceful new way of being together in society. I'm not sure that we're quite ready for that, but hopefully we get there pretty soon. Okay, thank you, Asa. And so as we're looking ahead, then that more progressive leaning energy will become more and more prevalent here on the planet. And in our politics, in our governments, in our institutions as time goes on. So we're kind of getting to see how we can participate in that without making it a polarizing deal, right? Without it dividing us, right? How can we see where we can move forward? That's about what this is about today. Okay, so we are going to take a look at only 3 charts. I'm going to do Emily's, Jennifer's, and I see that Ursula has just requested that. That is all I have time for today because it's already 8:30, almost 8:30. So I want to look right now first at whose was that? Emily's, Puffing Pixie. Puffing Pixie, if you're out there, let me go see if I can find you. I'm not sure. Maybe Asa, you can see if she's out there. There she is. I see her. I'm here. Good morning. Okay. So Puffing Pixie, if you wouldn't mind, you had asked for us to look at your human design chart, which I have here. And I'm going to share that right now. In the meantime, would you tell me what it is specifically that you wanted to know about that particular chart? So let me bring that up for the moment. All right, so we're looking at your chart. So you are a generator. You have a lot of energy here, girlfriend, with only 2 open centers, but they can be troublemaking spots. So maybe I'll address that while I'm waiting to see what you really wanted to talk about. So in human design, there are 2 pressure centers. One is the head. And when the head center is open, there's always this feeling of pressure to answer questions like how, when, why, can you prove it? And in that questioning process, you attempt to align yourself to answer those questions, even though they're not your own. Now you have a defined head. So the defined head center here creates pressure still, but the pressure is to answer the questions that are coming up from the gates that are connecting your head to your ajna. And that happens to be the 6447. This is the gate of confusion. And the gate 47 is the gate of, I like to call it the gate of the epiphany or the aha. It is a very interesting channel because for you, Puffing Pixie, Emily, lots of information may be coming in at all times, right? You're open to that. And when that information comes in, it can be very confusing. It can be a source of a lot of confusion for you to sort your thoughts or to organize your thinking patterns. And you can get caught up in forever a thinking, a mind circuit, I call it, or the mind circus, if you want to call it that, of going round and around and around trying to answer questions. And the questions may very well be coming up from your mind, but know that this is exactly the reason why we are not designed to make decisions from the mind, because it's got confusion here. It's got awe and wonderment here. It has doubt here. It doesn't sound like a very good place to make decisions from, and indeed it isn't. Your channel here of, do they call it the channel of confusion? It is called the channel of abstraction. But honestly, this channel can sometimes succumb to what we call stinking thinking, where your mind gets caught up in maybe a negative spiral. So you have to be very careful of what is in your mind at all times. What are you focused on? Because what you're focused on is what you are creating. And if you're focused on chaos and confusion, guess what's being created? Chaos and confusion. And you also have turbulence, a gate of turbulence in your chart, gate 36, that's hanging, which means that at times with planets that transit across 35 or people that you come into contact with that have the 35, you may sometimes upend your life or go out thrill seeking or be restless and bored enough to do things that are not necessarily positive or the things that you were meant to be doing. You may be a little bit impatient, and impulse control would be very important for you here. Interesting. Let's see what planet sits that 36. It is the Earth. Ah, chaos, 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 right? It's one of your evolutionary impulses that takes you to impact in your life. So you want to make sure, because changes that you go through are impacting others. And you also carry the 3-5 profile, the martyr heretic. It is the most trauma profile in all 12 profiles, because your life is experiential and you're often the karmic mirror for others, and in which case they can sometimes project their own stuff onto you, and you end up in, you know, the blame karmic shame game. So be careful for that. The two open centers here, the root center here, is a problem with maybe overcommitting yourself to things. Overcommitting yourself is likely a problem when it comes to the gate 29 here, where the sun is this week. You're saying yes to too many things, saying yes to the wrong things. So a real need for you to understand how to use your emotional authority, saying yes to the correct things with clarity over time. Clarity over time. And when it looked like a question that Asa just said to me, you know, your natural talents and your career focus and all of that, these are things that I'm not going to go into with this chart, because that's a more detailed reading. But I will tell you this, you are here with the energy of speaking and sharing the light. The gate 11 is about sharing enlightenment. It's a seeking place, right? So you're seeking answers. So no wonder you have questions that you want answers to, right? You're seeking the answers to some of life's biggest questions, and it's experiential. It's not that you're doing that so that you can write the next big adventure novel, although that's a possibility. You're not doing that so that you can get on camera like me and share that information, although that's possible. It all depends on what it is that you really truly want to do, and what things that you do whether they succeed or fail doesn't matter because it's all about the experience that you're gathering. For you, life is sort of like a cornucopia, right? Where you're just gathering in the experiences. I now know one more thing that I didn't know before. You might likely be a good card reader, oracle reader, speaker, teacher, coach, because you see you've got these gates here that sort of make me think of the teacher. You have the gate of clarity or intuition here, which Asa also has. The gate 57 is your Pluto, so you might hold some transformational sort of messages for people that come out in the right place at the right time with the right people. You're also a storyteller or a story keeper. But you got to ask the question, Emily, what story are you telling? Are you telling it with an invitation, or are you just regurgitating stories over and over again to people out there in the world? The highest use of that energy for you is about sharing your experiences with the people who want to hear about it. That means waiting for people to say, Emily, tell me about your life. And then you get to tell people about your life, right, through story. So that might be through storytelling orally or storytelling through writing. So either way would work out well for you. If you want to know more about all of the details of this, then I would suggest you get a human design reading where we can take up those innuendos, the small pieces. Remember, emotional authority is clarity over time. You never say yes to the big things in life in the moment. You wait for clarity over time. Hi, kitty. And then you will make the correct decisions for you, right? It's almost like your emotional field will align you with what is right, what is correct, what feels good, what is true for you, what makes you happy and what makes you joyful. All right, so there you have that. The other person who had wanted a reading was Jennifer Peachy. Now, Jennifer, I never did see whether you wanted a human design or astrology, so could you maybe point that out to me? Jennifer, I saw you out there. So maybe type that in there so I can get the message. In the meantime, I'm going to pull up your astrology chart because I suspect that's what you wanted in the first place. And if not, then we'll pull up your human design chart. And let's see, Peachy. Just checking for your chart right now. Jennifer, there you are. Astrology, good. Thank you, Asa. So helpful to have you out there doing that. I cannot even tell you. So let's see here, natal chart and transits. So Jennifer, here you go. Let's make this a little bigger. Actually, I'm going to make this a little bit smaller so we can kind of see. No, back. Here we go. So Jennifer, do you have a specific question about your astrology chart right now, a special area of your life that's in particularly interesting for you, something that you want to hear about here? Looking at this chart, you have a packed 12th house and a packed first house. Not much action happening over here, but on the opposite side, we have the planet Uranus in Taurus, and this is in your sixth house at the moment. So about your work, perhaps, how you're serving through giving of your gifts and your talents. And you're just past your Uranus opposition point. So it must mean you're in your low 40s, your early 40s, maybe close to mid 40. Yeah, 46, maybe 45. And at this point, then, it looks to me like you are ready to choose the work that you want to do, something that's really meaningful to you. It feels to me almost like that maybe you've been in some kind of healing mode, whether that was body healing, it might be because Taurus rules the body, or some kind of deep soul work that you've been doing, and you're emerging out of that at the moment. So now it becomes this energy around looking at your health, of your environment, of the people that you surround yourself with, where you work, etc. And I just saw from Asa that you're looking at relationships. Well, at this moment, the seventh house of relationship is not being triggered, nor is there anything here in the first house that is triggering that. The focus seems to be on maybe some romance. Are you looking for romance or creativity in your life? Mars here is in a square now to those planets in Capricorn over here, and that is putting them in your third house. I think you need to look to the mind. What is going on in that beautiful mind of yours right now, and how is it supporting your health or not supporting your health? At this point in time, it seems that it's a work in progress for you. Let's look at the sun, because the sun has just crossed over your midheaven. And whenever that happens, this brings more focus and energy into the 10th house of your career or your profession, of the authority that you have. So maybe as a precursor to having very good, strong relationships with others, you need to cultivate the strong, worthy, authentic, authoritative relationship with yourself first. So really claiming the heart-centered role that you want to play in the world. So right now, of course, the sun is sitting right here. It looks like it's in Virgo, but it isn't in Virgo until tomorrow. So it's right here, having just crossed over the midheaven yesterday when the sun was at 26 degrees. Today, it's between 27 and 28. Be thinking about what would make it authentic and authoritative for you to do in the world? How would you like to show up? Showing up in the world is the most important thing that I think you need to focus on right now. All of the rest takes care of itself when you know who you are and when you're willing to live your truth and be authentic. I hope that makes sense for you, because really, as much as you think that your focus might be on relationships, it's not quite there yet. It's coming. You can see that this north node is transiting through Gemini, which is going to eventually conjunct your south node in Gemini. There's nothing yet coming this way into Gemini. Uranus will eventually move up through Taurus and be across your descendant. That won't be until next year. So at this moment in time, it's really the you show. It's all about you. Get up on that pedestal and really make yourself the... Thank you. Let's see. Let's share my screen. Shoot. There we go. Now you can see my screen. So up here, this is the part where we have the sun and Mercury at the midheaven and focusing energy here into the 10th house where your part of fortune is. It's not there yet. The sun isn't hitting that yet, but it will in the next month. So the part of fortune is where you find the most joy. The most joy you find is likely in some kind of healing, some kind of work in service. And that's what I want you to really focus on over here. What I was saying, which you couldn't see, but there's not much going on here in the seventh house of marriage or partnership. There is stuff going on here in the fifth house, but what's really going here, it's dredging up some wound, some pain in being able to be creative or in being able to be in a loving romantic relationship. And Mars here is now just moved into the sixth house, again, putting focus on healing and work, the environment that you work in. So there's a lot more going on here than just relationship. And I think it's all about the relationship of you and you raising your own authority and your own strength out there in the world first. Then that becomes a magnetic force to bring into you the people that match that vibration. Right now, I think your vibration isn't quite... You're trying to empower yourself. Maybe that's the best word, through self-love, through self-healing, through self-discipline, self-mastery. You could go on and on with the selves here. Self-acceptance. Work on that, and the rest will take care of itself over the course of time. All right. Sorry about not sharing the screen there right away. Okay, so Ursula, what was it I was looking at for you? Was this your astrology chart, or was this your... Yes, Jennifer, exactly. If you can't tell, if there are people around you that you cannot tolerate, that's a clue that they're putting out the wrong vibration. You're getting ready to move up and they're not doing that with you. Or if they haven't chosen yet, you remember yesterday we talked about the one third that are willing, the one third that are unwilling, and the one third who have already started the process. Well, you might have surrounded yourself with the unwilling, and it's time to get to the people who are willing. They're willing and ready to make the changes and raise the vibration. So cool. Okay. Ursula, I want to go back to Ursula because I know she wanted me to look at Pluto, wasn't it? I would love an astrology. Please look at Pluto as I'm concerned with fire near me. And at the same time, I sense ET communication with me coming in and I'm ready to step up. Okay, so Ursula, let's take a look at your chart. So nice to have a name like Ursula because I don't have a, you're the only client I have with the name Ursula. Also with the last name O'Farrell. So no matter how I search for you, I'd find you. All right, let me make sure I share the screen. So Ursula, here's Pluto down here. Let me see if I can bring this up a little bit. So Pluto down here, between sandwiched right now between Jupiter and Saturn, and in Capricorn, later degrees of Capricorn, in what looks like Pluto is right on the border here of your fourth to fifth house. So I don't think this has, I think the fire around you is about the fire of creativity. I don't think that this is the fire of immolation or of death or destruction, although that's a part of what's happening, right? Fire has the ability to destroy and then allow space for what comes next. You know, it was amazing to watch after Mount St. Helens, the volcanic explosion and fire and, you know, all of the pyroclastic flows and how quickly the forest rebounded after that. Same thing in California or even here in Washington in Western Canada, where we had fires over these last several years, really big fires. And you go back and you see how beautiful they are coming back. Fire has a history in the West Coast here. It does. It's a part of the death process of a forest in order to regenerate the forest. Some trees even cannot really propagate without fire, right? It takes the heat of the fire to pop open the cones so that the seeds can fall out so that new growth can occur. So part of the healthy ecosystem is fire. The reason it seems so terrible at this moment in time is because in places like California, people have built into the hillsides and into the wild areas that were always about fire, that were always going to be susceptible to fire. And so it's magnified. It seems worse than it is because now people's lives are affected and their homes and their lives, their very lives and their families all being affected by this. Where in times past, it was just a natural flow of an energy that was going through there. I'm not saying that there aren't other man-made reasons why this has happened, but you literally have nothing to fear from this, Ursula, because this is a process of you getting ready to be more creative, to express yourself in the world in a new way. And Pluto's, relatively speaking, a generational planet. It's not personal. It's collective. It's social. It has to do more with the collective than it has to do with the personal. And so we have this collective change that's going on, and fire is unfortunately just a part of that, as the very earth herself is going through a process of heating up and cooling down. Remember the symptoms we talked about yesterday of ascension or of this solar plexus mutation that's ready to occur. And part of it was, you know, inability to regulate temperature, overly hot, overly cold, right? Extremes of temperature. The earth is a sentient being. She is also showing us the same signs and symptoms. I do not think you have anything to worry about, but I do see that likely the trio here, or the quadruple, you know, energy of Pallas and Jupiter and Pluto and Saturn, and even little Tririclo in there, they're all moving this direction. Oops, I can't draw an arrow because I'm not in the annotation screen. So let's see if I can do that real quick. I have it already. They are all moving in this direction, right? And over time, even Pluto is going to dance into your fifth house of creativity, love, and romance, and out of the fourth house right now that seems to be affecting your home. I honestly don't see, and I'm not going to say that fire might not ever affect you because you live in Northern California. And it's always a part of the Californian experience. I grew up there. I was born there. Every year we had the Santa Ana winds that blew, that started fires, or we had, you know, heat that came in from the desert that started fires. It's been a process of that state forever. So it's not unnatural. What's unnatural about it is people have moved into territories where before there wasn't life that was needing to be preserved, and it was just a natural part of the forest. So the natural part of what you're experiencing right now is a creative surge. Now, for a while, let's change colors here. For a while, the next month or so, you're going to have the Sun and Mercury in your 12th house. And this is a trigger often to fears, right? Unspoken fears, the deeper, you know, deep down fear we have, the secret fear, the hidden, you know, what's been hidden from us or what we hid, you know, squelched, pushed down into our deep unconscious comes up to the surface because the Sun is shining a very powerful light here, Mercury bringing it up for words, for expression. And you have that going on at least through the next 3 to 4 weeks. And one by one, it's going to hit the planet Uranus in your chart and your natal Pluto in your chart and your natal Sun. So you are maybe bringing these things up so you can release them, right? The fear isn't real. False evidence appearing real. And even if the fire seems real to you, get out of the way of it, right? Take your precautions and do your due diligence, but don't spend much time in the worry of it because the worry of it energizes it to you. Instead, focus on your creative energies. And you are also, I might just add, very close to your Saturn return. And maybe not now, but in December and on into the next months after that, it'll be time to start pruning away, letting go of things that no longer serve you. And maybe a part of your unconscious is sensing that as well. And what might you have to let go of that maybe you're holding on to a little tightly? So I really don't see anything for you to fear, but I see that you are dealing with fear. So, and, you know, worry, a little bit of anxiety. All right, I hope that helps. I'm going to march myself over here to YouTube. Any questions about that? Just contemplating big change. Okay, there we go. J-Lo, thank you very much for that. Question, could this all keep me calm because I believe I see an air trine and a water trine in my chart? Maybe that's why I'm calm with the craziness in New York. Hard to say. Maybe you're calm because it doesn't affect you personally. Or maybe because you are evolving as a soul and you recognize that you don't need to feed into the pattern of fear. That we all have a choice, right? Remember, we're in one choosing. This is a 13-day week about choosing. We can choose to feed into the fear, to resist the changes, which then creates more of that, or we can just choose to go through with the evolution and see where it takes us, to be open-hearted, to watch our thoughts and to watch our words and to really be aware of that. And maybe that's what you've become much better at, so things aren't bothering you in the same way as they did before. So there you have that. And exactly, Asa, thank you for saying that for her. That's office. Awesome. Okay, now let me get back into Asa. Just let me know if there's anything else big I missed that I need to address. But that is the end of the readings that I'm going to do today. Just as a reminder, I've switched the schedule up a bit so that I do readings mostly on Thursday now because I feel rushed to get out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for everybody as well as do card readings, etc. So it's more difficult for me to do that. So we've moved readings to Thursday, including chart readings, which we did yesterday, and that was kind of fun. So anyway, let's go on to Saturday because on Saturday, we have the Sun moving out of Leo and into Virgo. That's the biggest news for the whole of the weekend is the change in the energy of the Sun. And now we move things from the creative expression up here in our idea category down into the earth and the practical expression of things category. This is where we look at the details of our lives. We get organized around creation. What is it we wanted to bring? What is the work that we need to do to get where we want to go, to bring in the ideas that we've created or that we visualized, or that how do we bring about our desires? We're attending to the practical things of life when the Sun is moving through Virgo. Anything that you have left over, any unfinished business, it's time to get to it, right? Anything left hanging and dangling that you have been putting off, right? It's time to get that done. Throw out what's no longer useful to you. what is no longer serving you. It's a great time, especially if you're in your Saturn return, either your 28 to 29 year old one or your 57, 58 year old one, to let go of the baggage, anything that isn't working and that's not useful. Streamline, right? That's a good guide word for us right now. Streamline, organize, categorize. And in the energy of Virgo, the sun really places us in a position of sharing. I'm going to use the word serving by sharing our gifts and our talents with the world, doing the work that we were here to do, and that we serve the society or the community or the family when we use our gifts and our talents to do so. And that also expresses outward to the environment that you find yourself in. So the working environment, perhaps, that you're in. So you may have to take the time to detoxify your environment. So people like Jennifer out there who are seeing that she's surrounded by people that aren't necessarily to the caliber that she wants to be surrounded by. That's what this is all about. It's taking a look around you and seeing, what environment have I placed myself in? Is this toxic? Does this feel good? Does this support my heart-centered desire to move forward and do this or to be that? And if it doesn't, time to move on, right? It's time to make the plan to move on. Serving by sharing of your gifts and talents. Here for us in the Northern Hemisphere is when summer's irregular schedule turns back to the routine, right? We get back to business. We get back to basics. We go back to school, and we are in however that's going to happen for the kids around the country or college students around the country. It's getting back to the routine of the day. It is also for the period of time that the sun is in Virgo to focus on your health. Focus on your body. I was just sitting before I even thought about this morning. I'm thinking, I got to get to the dentist. I've got to get my my usual checkups done that I haven't gotten done yet, because, you know, COVID sort of sent everything back in my schedule. So it's a great time now to focus on getting those routine things done. I'm going to call the girl that does my hair so I can get my hair done. That's another one of those routine things that got disrupted during this whole COVID thing. And now I can get back maybe to some kind of routine. Now, Saturday, of course, the moon's still in Libra the whole of the day, that the moon will be in Libra. But here we have a sort of balancing act that's going to need to be made, because the moon and our emotional self is around harmony and balance and peace and being in relationship and loving energy. But the connections to planets that the moon will be making is a square to Venus in Cancer, a square to Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn in Capricorn, and an opposition to Mars in Aries. Not exactly things that promote peace and balance and harmony. So we may have to work a little more this tomorrow in particular at being peaceful, at creating a conflict-free or confrontation-free environment. And that might mean if you're surrounded by people in the moment that are contrary and you find yourself being impatient or snippy or feeling that emotional anger rising up, get out. Go for a walk. Separate yourself from that energy. Use it in a productive way, right? Rather than creating, you know, rancor or upset or conflict, do something different. Be productive in a different way. So Saturday may be difficult on one hand at times, but the moon in Libra is challenging us then to make peace, to find harmony, to be our own authority in terms of how do we self-soothe when the environment is a little bit chaotic and crazy. The moon will also turn into the void on Saturday night at 9:20 p.m. and my time, West Coast time. So 9:20 would be actually midnight 20 for those of you on the East Coast, early Sunday morning. It is in the void until 3:16 a.m. my time, 6:16 a.m. for those of you in the East. And then the moon will move into Scorpio, and that will change up our energy of camaraderie, collaboration, cooperation into the deeper waters of Scorpio, which I'll talk about in a minute, because I want to get to the Pleiadian energy for Saturday as well, because it is the day 10 in our cycle of evolution, which is a day about manifesting. right? It's the energy of manifestation. Things come very quickly on the day 10. So it is a very powerful reminder for us to watch our thoughts, watch our words. What are we thinking? What are we worrying about? What are we focused on? Because we are manifesting very quickly at this period of time. And the energy that day, tomorrow, is being energy. It starts it's the one energy of the first of the earth signs of the earth days. So we have being. It is about what's new. What can we create? It is the cosmic crocodile in the Mayan calendar. It was Emish. And Emish was all about a new beginning, birthing something, nurturing something, right? So a mother who gives birth nurtures that baby until it grows up and is able to sustain itself. And that's kind of the energy that we're dealing with tomorrow, birthing and manifesting these things that we want to move forward with. And nurturing isn't smothering, although that's a tendency, right? To hold it really tight and to keep looking to see if that seed is coming up through the ground. There's nothing you can do to make things grow any faster, but being nurturing is a part of it. Just don't over nurture or smother. The other thing to watch out for tomorrow is the sun and earth will change gates in human design. The sun will move into the gate 59, which is the gate of sexuality. It is very masculine energy. It is the masculine energy of productivity, of reproduction, of fertility, and it is highly creative energy. It is very action-oriented energy. The earth, on the other hand, is in the gate 55, which is our gate of the evolution that is occurring in the solar plexus mutation. And that particular gate is called the spirit of abundance. And it's about the abundant nature of the world that we live in. And if we're focused on abundance, we see abundance. If we are focused on lack, we see lack. So what are you focused on, right? What, again, another idea about what are our thoughts focused on? What are you perceiving? And can you raise your perception to the higher level so that you can see from the position of the eagle, which is interesting since the moon will be later that night going into Scorpio. So for Sunday, the question might be, how do I elevate my perspective? Right? How do I see from a higher point of view? Sunday is the 23rd. It'll be our first full day of the sun being in Virgo. The moon will be in Scorpio in a powerful sextile to both sun and Mercury. So those guys are working well together, being able to get to the crux of something, right? Digging right in, getting to the passion of something and, you know, being able to see very clearly what it is that would empower you or empower your creations. There's also an opposition to Mercury or to Uranus that day. There's some nervous energy here as well. Mercury rules the mind, right? The lower mind and not a value statement, just the lower mind, while Uranus rules the higher mind. So it's a possibility that there's inspiration incoming, right? That there you can be inspired by something. You could see things in a new and different way. Something that just cracks open your whole world, your whole life, and aids you in moving forward more powerfully into the energy of what it is you were here to do, sharing of your gifts and your talents, how you serve, right? Themes in the moon in Scorpio, real quickly, since by Monday we'll already be in that, empowerment and power. So we may hear more political BS out there, psychology, charisma, secrets being exposed, transcendence, right? The idea of transforming and changing, morphing, shape-shifting. I love that, shape-shifting. What could we shape-shift into? How could we shape-shift ourselves? And eliminating baggage, letting it all roll away, restoring, regenerating, all of that is a part of that Scorpio experience. Crisis energy driven in part by obsessions and compulsions, living on the edge, thrill-seeking behavior. I'm not advocating for that, by the way. I'm saying you got to be careful here in this energy. We don't need to create more crisis on the planet, but there may very well be more of that as we move forward. As well, the negative implications, revenge and jealousy, possessiveness, all, stealing power or power struggles, all part of Scorpio's negative experiences. It also rules bonding, so the idea of sex and soulmate energy and of coming together with deep emotional connection. And OPM, other people's money, it rules loans, taxes, credits, debts, grants, the income that comes to you from a spouse or from other than what you earn on your own. Wills and inheritances are also a part of that. So all of the things that emotionally the moon will focus us on from Sunday into Monday, that Pleiadian energy of Sunday is two, breathing, two, duality and polarity. Again, we get to look at again how it is that we, no, it's not, it's 11 being, sorry, I reduced it numerologically to a two. It's illuminating breathing. So the 11, of course, the spotlight, the shining of a light on something. And what is it shining a light on? It's shining a light on new ideas. Breathing energy can bring us into contact with other points of view, with new ideas, with new innovations. It can show us where we've been stuck and where we need to move on. And it can be, it can feed into a bit of the conflict on the planet, but we can actually just, if we're shining a light into something, maybe it will dawn on us where we have been dealing with duality incorrectly, or where we've been dealing with polarizing energy incorrectly, and we can raise our vibration there. All right, I got all of that out. Let's go back here. Asa, is there anything that I really need to focus on? Good, okay. Let's look here. Asa, don't forget to hit like. Thank you very much, J-Lo and Asa, for bringing J-Lo's comment up. Don't forget to like and hit subscribe. Ring that bell, the little bell next to the subscribe button will let you get notifications. Don't feel like you can't share either. If sharing with your friends, sharing in your social media, all very much appreciated. Thank you very much. And I think that is it for me. Ursula says, bootstraps, I can do this. We have packed our go bags in case the wind turns. Indeed, right? It's about doing your due diligence, but not being into that. Prepared, not scared. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Cosmic Calibris, hello there. Sun and Mercury are on the 12th house, the house also of the collective. What happens when I have the sun in the 12th on my NC? All I can say is any time a body, especially the sun, is moving through the 12th house, it's shining a light into the deeper places. It might be spotlighting where it is that you're self-sabotaging. It might be spotlighting your fears or your limited thinking, where you're in bondage in some way, where you haven't yet brought yourself into some kind of boundary or form so that you can actually express your true self out in the world. So there's a lot going on. It gives us relatively easy access to our subconscious. We just have to choose to go there and look deeper without being victim or being the martyr, or in any way blaming others or for our situation. So looking deeper into the source of any issues that you're experiencing, any beliefs you have, any patterns that you're living out, so that you can love those and let them go, right? And move on into the light of the first house. All right. So that is it for me. I'm so glad that you all were able to join us this morning. Asa, thank you so much for helping me moderate all of this. Thank you all so much for joining me. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember just to stay cool. If things get a little out of hand with people in your life, walk away, get productive. Sun in Virgo now, get those cupboards cleaned out. I'm cleaning out my refrigerator. There we go. Take care, everybody.